Hey there. My name is Jasmine Starr, and I'm a photographer and business strategist from Newport Beach, California. Now, if you've been around the block with us for a second, this isn't going to be news to you. But just in case you're a friendly new face, my husband and I are the founders of Social Curator, a monthly membership that empowers business owners to build a brand and market it on social media. And this podcast is all about how you can do. This show is known for giving practical tips, honest conversations with industry experts, and I don't want to be partial, but I really love our Q&A and step-by-step tutorials to ensure that you have everything you need to be successful. So, you know, if you've been around the block and you're a longtime subscriber, if you're a first-time listener, thank you so much for being here and clicking play. Your time means so much to me. So now let's get on to the show. Today, we're going to chat about a common question I get asked when I started my business. And it's the same question that I get asked by others today. And that question is, when is it time to hire somebody or get help in my business? When I decided to hire my first team member, I was completely overwhelmed. I kept thinking, how do I find them? Like, how can I afford it? What would they even do? But I figured out, because, you know, that's what I do. I just figure stuff out by doing. I knew that if I wanted to create a business, specifically the business of my dreams, just like you, I needed to act like the person I wanted to become. I actually came across a video from this stranger on the internet who would later become my mentor. And he had said, if you picture yourself in the future running the type of business that you want, what decisions do you have to make today to put you in that situation in the future? He basically asked, what decisions would you make as a $10 million CEO? And you must make those decisions today to become that CEO in the future. Y'all, I mean, that shook me. He straight called me out. But it was on a video on the internet, so he didn't even know he was talking to me. But I was like, oh my gosh, I am not making future decisions today. I'm making today decisions today. Now, I have to be real with you. Since hiring that first team member, shout out to Tammy. Tammy came on as a photo assistant. She came on as my photo assistant, and now that queen has become the social curator, creative director. Y'all, the social curator team has grown to over 15 employees and independent contractors working remotely all over the United States, and I have learned a lot of lessons getting here. My team members and I, you know, we will talk about high-level business strategy 1 minute, and then we'll be oohing and aahing over puppy photos, and then somebody's posting cat memes, and there's this abundance of emoji usage. You know, this is how we communicate. Photos, memes, emojis, all with high-level business strategy. I truly believe my business would not be this successful without my team to push me and help me and see me and complete me. Now, I still remember that feeling of overwhelm around making your first hire, and I want to help you through the process. Now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, this just doesn't apply to me, I do everything on my own, I'm here to tell you that for over a decade, y'all, for over 10 years, I did everything in my business on my own. So I feel you and I understand you. But I have to tell you that the minute I prioritized bringing somebody onto my team, it became a complete game changer. Because the truth is, there's always more to do. There's always more clients to serve and there's more products to sell. But there's just one of you. If you're feeling tired or overwhelmed, hiring somebody to fulfill a role, even if it's a virtual assistant, might be the answer you're looking for. So today, I'm going to walk you through how to decide if you're ready to make your first hire. I'm going to walk you through defining your team members' roles and responsibilities. I'm going to be given tips for creating job opportunities on a page so that you could receive applications, and the best practices when interviewing potential candidates for a position, and the best part, how to onboard your new team member properly. This is one of the most jam-packed podcast episodes I've ever done. Shout out to the podcast producer, Christy, because she and I worked on this, but she was the one to really push me and say, Jasmine, it's time to bring this to the surface. And she did this because she knows I'm dedicated to answering your burning questions, specifically when they deal with business. And this has been a highly requested topic for so long. So since it is so beefy, it is so dense, and I said beefy and I'm a vegetarian, but you know, we're here for it. Since this podcast is going to be like legit filet mignon on a plate, I have created a free guide to help you implement the strategies from this episode, and you could download them at jasminestar.com/hire your team. And I'm doing this to give you a framework for how you can start removing things from your plate and getting your life back. If you're obsessed with taking action on what you learn, and if you're thinking about hiring a team member at any time in the future, download the guide for free and follow along at jasminestar.com/hire your team. I am really excited to walk you through this process. Like, you're literally, it's going to be turnkey. You're going to open this door so you could save time and get your life back doing what you love. So are you ready? Great. Let's dive in. While listening to this episode, you might be thinking, am I even ready to make my first hire? I am here to tell you that you may never feel ready. But here are some telltale signs that it's time to hire a team member or a virtual assistant for your business. Ready or not? Here we go. You can use the checklist found on page 3 of your workbook to determine if you're ready to make your first hire by checking off the boxes that apply to you. Because this is an audio-only podcast, you might be driving or cleaning or cooking, and now you might have the guide in front of you, you might not, but we're going to listen through because I'm going to read the 6 qualifiers out loud so you can just nod your head to the ones that resonate with you, but keep track because it's like a quiz. So here they go. Number 1, this is how you'll know you're ready to hire somebody. Number 1, my business cannot expand further without some assistance. Number 2, I'm turning down work because I can't handle the workload of my business. Number 3, I can think of at least 3 tasks in my business that could be passed on to somebody else. Number 4, my business is financially sound and making a consistent profit. Number 5, I'm missing skills or knowledge that would benefit my business. And lastly, number 6, I'm spending a lot of time on small, non-vital tasks in my business. Okay. So how did you do on this quiz? If you nodded your head or at least checked off 3 things on that list, you are ready to make your first hire. So keep listening to this episode and following along in the guide at jasminestar.com/hire your team for the next steps. If fewer than 3 things on the list resonated with you, don't worry. It is all good. It might not be the time to build your team just yet, but I still want you listening and hold on to the guide for when you are ready. If you decided you're ready to hire your first team member, all right, let's go. Now is the time to decide what they'll do. When I talk to business owners in social curator coaching sessions, on my weekly live videos on Facebook or my Instagram DMs, this is one of the most really difficult aspects of hiring your team for small business owners. They often tell me, Jasmine, I know I need help in my business, but I don't even know what I can hand over. Or they feel worried or unsafe that somebody is going to take their ideas, their projects, their information. They're filled with fear. Now, if you feel this way, I get it. Don't worry. I have a really super easy way to determine what your new team member will do. It's simply to look at the tasks that you spend most of your time doing. So, real talk. As the owner of your business, you should only be doing tasks that require your personality and expertise. This means although you can be answering emails, but should you be answering emails? Maybe not. You are able to schedule your own appointments, but would your time be best spent somewhere else? I mean, there's a difference between could and should, and I hope you're catching my drift because some examples of things that many small business owners need help with are filing receipts, setting up client questionnaires, answering emails, sending reminders for your clients, organizing your schedule, getting help with a social media plan. Again, as long as it doesn't require your personality and your expertise, it can be delegated. The things I just mentioned are a great fit for a virtual assistant. Now, what I just mentioned, these are general like admin tasks, And they're not that hard to teach somebody. You could teach somebody how to set up a questionnaire. You could teach somebody how to answer emails using your own email templates that you give them. Now, if the duties you need help with require very specific skills like a graphic design or project management, you're going to maybe want to hire a team member to fulfill a specific role around a very specified skill set that's needed. Now we've broken down, do I need a virtual assistant? These are things that can help with admin tasks. Or am I really trying to hire a role for somebody with a very specific skill set? Cool. So once you've outlined the responsibilities for this new team member role, write down approximately how long each task should take. Remember, this is your business. You can likely do many tasks faster than someone coming in on the outside and learning from you, right? They're going to learn your business and they're going to learn your systems. I've found that budgeting about 50% more time than I could doing it myself is a good starting point. Because just because it takes me 20 minutes to answer my email, it might take the person I'm training 40 minutes. So if I want to hire a virtual assistant to take 3 hours of work off my plate, there's a good chance that it could take that person up to 6 hours because they're still learning my system and learning how I do it. Cool? Great. So next, do a quick Google search for people who provide similar services and then see the average pay for this type of work. It's very common for me to look at job listings and ask myself, what is the average salary for the type of role that I'm hiring for? Now, that salary doesn't mean that that's exactly what I have to use or what I would suggest. It just helps give me a framework for what's the going rate and what would be fair. Now, I want you to see the average pay for this type of work and then make sure it's within your budget by consulting an accountant, or if you're not working with an accountant, you can simply crunch numbers in your business and then you ask yourself, can I invest in 3, 6, 9, 12 hours a week to bring on somebody to help in my business? Now, one thing to know about paying a virtual assistant or a team member is I have to let you know there's no set pay structure. There are a ton of a ton of people looking for a job, especially if the position is virtual or online so they can work wherever. So because we know there's a lot of people looking for a job and virtual jobs are very, very, very in demand, it's better if you get clear on what that role is. And when I say this, I really mean, what exactly are they going to be doing in your business? The easier it will be for them to determine if this is the right opportunity for them is if they can see clearly what do you need them to do and what is the compensation for your time. I have to tell you, I've spoken at many events and people often say, I can't afford hiring an assistant or bringing on a team member. And I often tell people that what you say to yourself, your brain makes a reality. So if you say, I can't hire somebody, if you say, I can't afford it, guess what? You're right. But if you change the way you speak and you say, I am going to find a way to afford an assistant, I am going to believe that the project this person would work on would yield more income or money than what it would cost to bring them on the team. And you would be surprised. There are a lot of people who would take a virtual job to put food on their table, and you could be in the position to make that happen for somebody. So don't think negatively. Think about the opportunity. Now, what I want to do now is I want to help outline the role, right? So to help you outline the roles and the responsibilities and the pay for your team member, I've created a worksheet for you to fill out inside of the guide. Now, I'm not going to beat a dead horse here, but y'all, if you have not downloaded that guide, it's so good. I know, I mean, clearly I'm biased. JasmineStarr.com/hire your team. Okay, so there you're going to find the worksheet. We have a lot more content to get through, and I want to make sure that you're taking action on everything. So, okay, ready to go on creating a page to list the details of your job opportunity. So grab the worksheet you just completed, and you can grab like an empty Word document or a Google Doc. I mean, Word document. What is this, 1998? Just start with a clean sheet of paper, digital or in person. Okay, now I just want you to start jotting down ideas for your job listing. I like to incorporate mine and my team's personality on our job page, because I am putting out ultimately what I want to attract. I don't want like a stodgy, formal job page, because I'm going to attract stodgy, formal people. I keep it very loose. I write my job description very much like I would write an email to a friend. It's a little fun. It's a little businessy. I like to make sure that I am unafraid to really step into having potential candidates see the page and then get a really good idea for our company culture. So I am unafraid to use phrases and make references that my dream team member would enjoy. So it's very common for me to say that, like, if you want to work at Social Curator, you have to like cat memes and dad jokes. Like, I mean, I'm literally putting that stuff out because I want you to have a wild appreciation for my dad jokes or my mom jokes. I just make jokes all day and I want people to laugh. I think I do a really poor job at it. But if you like dad jokes, you're pre-qualified. So in addition to your personality, there are four elements to include on your job opportunity page. I want to break this down in 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one, a 1 to 2 paragraph description of your business, including what you do, who you serve, and what your long-term goals are. Number two, a 1 to 2 paragraph summary of the job position, including the day-to-day responsibilities and how they would know they would be a great fit and the qualifications you are looking for in applicants. Number three, you're going to want to include a few points on why somebody would want to apply for this position, such as job security, remote work, or a fun, loving environment. And lastly, number four, the thing you want to include on your job opportunity page is a deadline to apply with application instructions, such as sending an email with a resume. I also request that anybody who applies to Social Curator include their Myers-Briggs personality test. This is really insightful for us. And this is not common, but I am going to tell you the secret sauce to creating a really powerful team is we request that they include a 1 to 2 minute introduction video on why they're the perfect candidate. And this is something that I know so many people will not do. Either they just don't want to take the time, or they're not comfortable on video, or they just don't see the value in it. And I'm totally okay with a lot of people not applying to be on the team as a result of them not wanting to be on video. But here's one thing I know. Social Curator is 100% virtual team. We live on video. We live online. And the video empowers us to get a very clear idea of who they are and what they stand for. And I don't ask for what I don't include. I include a video. I include like, hey, this is going to be a great fit for you. And I want to make sure that I am asking for the thing that I also adhere to. Oh, and by the way, I know what you're thinking. Did I tell you I'm a part-time mind reader? Okay, so if you're wondering, wait, do I have to include like the salary or the hourly wage of the position on the employment page? No, you don't. You do not have to share the salary or the hourly wage of the position you are accepting applications for. This can be discussed during your onboarding and or interview process. Like, I'm basically putting out like, does this work for you? And if so, will you go through these steps? 1, 2, 3, 4. And if you do that and you get a conversation with us, we're going to lay out everything and provide clear, clean opportunities and a framework for you to decide if it's a good fit for you. So after creating the text, like what you're going to say about this job opportunity, and you're ready to move forward to creating like a page or a listing, you could upload it to a page on LinkedIn, Indeed, or Upwork, or it could simply be housed on your website. And you can send colleagues or members of your program, and you could say, hey, this is where you can find it. All of these programs are really super easy to use, but most of them require a small fee. So keep that in mind when you're deciding which one is right for you. Now, In the beginning, as we started hiring for Social Curator, I didn't use public job listings. I just went to my network and I posted that I was looking for a business manager, what they call an OBM, online business manager. And I went to my community and I asked for referrals from friends. So don't underestimate the power of putting something out on social or just reaching out to people who say, this is what I'm looking for. I actually have even said I was getting my teeth done. What am I? Getting veneers? No, my teeth are real. I was getting my teeth cleaned. Okay. I was getting my teeth cleaned and I was speaking to the dental hygienist and I was talking to her about me looking for a particular role on the team. You never know who's looking or who has a friend of a friend who's looking for that particular role. Anybody that I talk to when I'm in the hiring process, I'm letting them know. Why? You put it out and it comes back to you. And now y'all think I'm crazy. Okay, so let's go back to if you decide to reach out to your community or if you decide to use LinkedIn or Indeed or Upwork or any of those other job listing sites. So once it's posted, it's time to start accepting applications. So you could start sharing your job opportunity page on social media, on job search websites. You can email it to friends. Over the next week or so, I am not a big fan of leaving the job opportunity page up forever. I really like this 2-week mark. Like I want to say like deadlines to apply are by this date. So somebody can actually make a decision and we could select really quickly. So once the deadline has come, it's time to start going through all the applications and narrow down the selections to around 3 to 5 candidates. After weeding out candidates who aren't qualified, you're going to go with your gut to narrow down even further. Now, this is where it becomes an art and not a science. Like, y'all, if you do the video process, like we get a ton of qualified candidates and I'm looking through and I'm like, who are we going to narrow the 5 to? And it's like, I'll just watch the videos and I'm like, you know, I really think that you and I, we'd hang out and we'd have a cup of coffee together. Like, I like this. It's all gut, which is ridiculous, but it works. I'm telling you, those 2-minute videos as part of the application process, you get a real good feel for their personality. So if you're going to be working with this person every day or quite often, you want to make sure that you like them and your gut really does let you know. So now that you've narrowed it down, it's time to hold interviews to determine who's going to be the best fit for your team. Now, a quick reminder for you, when making your first hire, you don't need a fancy process. Like, don't make it complicated. My hiring process for the first, 13 years of my business was like, you, I like you. Let's go. So please, you can totally be fine. So you don't need a fancy process. In fact, when I first began building my team, I didn't even really conduct interviews. Okay. So when interviewing candidates, the things I have learned over time is that when I spent time focusing on an interview and finding out the 3 main things I wanted to know, it really changed the quality of the person joining the team. So when you interview candidates, the things that I've learned is to focus on 3 things: personality, qualifications, and adaptability. Now, we've already touched on personality. So, hey, that's great. You like this person. And qualifications is probably pretty obvious to you. Like, right? They send you the resume. You're likely by this time pretty sure that they can actually do the job. But let's talk about the importance of adaptability for a second. This is one of Social Curator's team core values: adaptability. Now, we define its role in our business, in our culture guide. So Social Curator has a culture guide because the culture is so important. And we have defined adaptability as we welcome and adapt to change, understanding that flexibility is our strength. We're not attached to titles we have. We're not attached to ideas we share. And we're not attached to the way that we are doing things today because we know it might change as we grow. Y'all, I am telling you that if you are not adaptable, if you're not flexible, if you can't change, you're not going to be a good fit on the team. So when interviewing potential team members, I want to encourage you to ask questions that showcase the importance of adaptability. To help you get started with brainstorming some questions, here are 5 questions to serve as starting points for your next interview. These are questions that I use quite often publicly to give you a good idea of the conversations that we would have internally. Number 1, what is your business superpower? So this question empowers that potential candidate to get really specific about what value they can bring to your business. Number two, the question you can ask, what three changes would you make to improve our business? Problem-solving abilities and forward-thinking tendencies are great traits to look for in a team member, and this question really allows you to see that part of them. I believe that as a CEO, I learn more about what I'm doing wrong and how to fix that. It is such a high value for me for somebody to come in from the inside and say, Jasmine, I've noticed this, 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 and I had never saw that. I'm like, oh, you're good. You're real good. Let's get on to question number three. On a scale of 1 to 10, how organized are you? Now, you might not need this question, but it could give a little insight into your candidate. For me, I am highly organized. I am like expert level organized in my business. If you are not playing at that really high level of organization, it's probably going to be a mismatch. But for you, if organization, you know, of course it's important, but not a make or break, then you can figure out how you could swap out the word organized. So you can say on a scale of 1 to 10, how timely are you? How outgoing are you? So you can figure out, but giving them the power to rate themselves on something that you hold very valuable in your business is really eye-opening to make sure that you guys are in alignment. Let's get on to question number four. What makes you different from other people who do what you do? I really value out-of-the-box thinking. So I want to know from the outset, what makes you different? And what makes you good? I love asking this question because it really allows candidates to brag about themselves. I want to know what makes you special because I believe you are. I just need to know what it is. And lastly, number five, why do you think you're perfect for this position? It's crazy. You'd be surprised about the responses you receive from this question, and in the best way. People open up and they say, this is why I am perfect. And it's so powerful to see how their insights are in alignment to your desires. My final tip for you while going through the interview process is to listen. So often we're focused on asking the next question that we forget to really hear what the candidate is saying, right? Because they're sharing their story, or maybe they're expressing concern, or maybe they're telling you about what makes them different. Listening intently during the interview will allow you to pivot in the moment and be like, huh, these are the follow-up questions I need to ask. And as a result of really listening, it could dramatically impact the way that the interview takes place. So instead of like blindly reading through your pre-planned questions, I heard this on the Jasmine Star Show. No. You could start with question one and then all of a sudden it leads to many other questions. Good. Trust your CEO intuition. Okay, now let's move into the final step of making your first hire. This is the best part. It's onboarding. It's bringing somebody onto your team. So after your interviews, it should be clear who your team member will be, and now it's time to welcome and onboard them. This is extremely important, and it's often overlooked. Y'all, I do not have a formal onboarding process for... Let's not go there, okay? Let's not chat about how I'd be like, you, I like you, join the team. And I'd be like, so I'll see you in Slack. You know, it's like, you're going to get some Asana tasks. Welcome. Like, no, you got to roll up the red carpet. You got to let them know this is who I am. This is what we do. This is the team. So let's dive in. A team member that is properly onboarded, it's going to lead to fewer questions, clear expectations, and way less misunderstandings. Like, let me help you learn from all my mistakes, y'all. At Social Curator, we have an extensive onboarding process that involves a few key elements, which you can infuse into your own process. You don't need all of them. I don't want you getting stressed out, but at least you know what you're working towards. So number one, we make people sign legal documents and we get them set up on their payment structure. Like, they know I'm now part of the team. This is how I get paid. Number two, we send them a video and a PDF reading about our company core values and our mission. What are we trying to do and who are the people that we want to work with? Essentially, how are we going to change the world? I know that sounds really big and massive, but like, if you don't believe that on the outset, you're probably not going to be a good fit. Number three, We have people join Slack for internal conversations and our communication, and then we encourage them to watch a video tutorial on how to use it. If you're not familiar with Slack, for people who are working in a virtual team, think of Slack as like micro conversations that are relegated to certain topics. It is powerful. Our team creates channels so that we can have daily conversations about the work that we're doing, but we also have Slack channels that are dedicated to memes and baby photos and jokes. And we play a team game every week. We have a running competition. I don't want to brag, but at the time of this recording, I'm in second place. Just there, I'm going to put it out there. And I'm going to be in first place. I've just decided. Like, I'm such a jerk. Like, what kind of boss wants to be number one? Me. So, social care team members who are listening, consider yourself warned. Okay, let's get into number four. We're going to ask them to join Asana. Asana is a task management system, and we give them a video tutorial on how we use it because, again, we're all virtual. We have to have a system of checking in. Like, where are you at with this project? Did you complete it? So now I don't have to micromanage. I get a notification. Oh, Christy finished this. Oh, the outline's ready for Addison. Oh, Tammy's working on this particular magazine layout. Great. Perfect. Number five, somebody comes on and joins the team, is they're reading our operations manual and watching an onboarding video outlining policies, procedures, expectations, and a employee handbook. I mean, y'all, this outline has taken us years to get to, but it's nice. I want to share it all so that you know I can implement this now and then I could work for others in the future. Our onboarding process, it usually takes about 1 to 2 weeks for team members to go through, and then it seems maybe a little intense, but we have never regretted this process on our team because I don't want to quote, but I will, my pretend best friend, Brené Brown. She says that clarity is kindness. And our onboarding, the more clear we are when people are coming onto the team, the less friction there is on the back end. And I had to learn that the hard way. So think about it. If we didn't make our operations or our expectations and our core values clear to every team member right at the beginning of their time with us, they might feel lost, overwhelmed, and frustrated as they figure it out on their own. Creating an extensive onboarding process is kind. It is a kind thing to do for new team members to help prevent those feelings of frustration for them. Y'all, again, in all humility, I tell you, I did it wrong for a little too long. So I'm sharing what I've learned and how it's been so transformative to bring on team members that are in such alignment. So there you have it, friend. After following this episode and corresponding guide, you have successfully, number one, decided if you're ready to make your first hire. Number two, you've defined your new team members' roles and responsibilities. Number three, created a job opportunity page to receive applications. Number four, interviewed potential candidates for the position. Number five, onboarded your new team member properly. Now, if you haven't already, y'all, I'm trying to convince you because it's real dang good. You can download the corresponding guide at jasminestar.com/hire-your-team. You could also find the link in the show notes. This is going to help you scale your business to new heights by freeing up your time to focus on revenue generating tasks. Only things that you need to do in your business. I'm so proud of you for taking this step in your business. If not now, then in the future. Remember, if you want to go fast, go alone. And if you want to go big, go with a team. Thank you for tuning into the Jasmine Star Show today. Here's to building the business and the team of your dreams.